Is the Earth really only a few thousand years old? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for listening. We're taking questions from listeners just like you, and we got a great one today. It's about the age of the Earth. Now, this show is only 15 minutes, and so we can't go too deep, but I think you'll find today's discussion very enlightening. So let's get right to it. This is Grace in Focus with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. This is Grace in Focus, and my name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are taking your questions on the Bible and theology and all kinds of different issues. So here's a question from Matthew. And on a previous episode, you probably explained, Bob, that you're a young Earth creationist.
Right.
Which is someone who believes the Earth is young, only a few thousand years old, not... I think the current estimate is 13.8 billion or something.
Well, no, that's the Earth universe.
The universe. But the world is how much?
Four and a half billion, approximately.
But you would say it's more like under 6?
I would say 4,200 BC, which would make it about 6,200 plus, a little over 6,200 years.
So Matthew asks, did I hear Bob right in that he said the age of the Earth is just a few thousand years old? Can we revisit, please? Would love to hear more about that. All right, so you've prepared something to answer Matthew.
Yes, I appreciate the question, Matthew. And this is the Young Earth Creationist position is abbreviated YEC.
Yep.
And the Old Earth Creationist position, there's lots of different ways of viewing the Earth as old.
Yeah.
Now, I happen to believe that most of the Old Earth Creationist positions are unbiblical. That is, they contradict Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And they do not take the 6 days of creation as 6 days of creation. There's a problem with that because it's very clear in Genesis 1 that each of these days are literal 24-hour days. There was evening, there was morning, day one. There was evening, there was morning, day two, etc. All the way through.
But there is no sun or moon, though.
Exactly. Only the first 3 days.
Well, so why are they normal 24-hour days without a sun or a moon?
All right, let me hit that real quick. Days 4, 5, and 6, you clearly have a sun and a moon, and
right.
You clearly have morning and evening, day 4, morning and evening, day 5, morning and evening, day
right.
6. So if you wanted to argue for different ages, you'd have to have different ages only in the first 3 days, because days 4, 5, and 6 have the sun and the moon.
Right.
However, the point is there was morning and evening in the first 3 days, too.
Right.
And so my view would be that God lit up the earth providentially without the sun or the moon. And by the way, this ties in with Revelation 21 and 22, where
right.
in Revelation 21, we're told that the Son of God lights up the New Jerusalem, and
right.
it has no need for the sun or the moon. And so Jesus is lighting it up. Well, if Jesus can light up the new earth,
yeah.
at least the New Jerusalem, I believe the rest of the earth is going to require the sun and the moon. But you can look at Revelation 21, and I think it's verse 24, and take a look at that.
Right.
But it seems to me in the first 3 days, God was illuminating the earth and then bringing darkness on.
So he was illuminating it for 12 hours or something and then turning it off.
It was just like you would have had the sun taking place, and I assume the moon, but in any regard, you would have had periods of darkness, periods of light, the first 3 days, and obviously the last 3 days.
Right.
So the main old earth view, which I think still takes the 6 days of creation literally, mm-hmm. is the gap view, yeah. which is there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, and that God has some sort of initial creation, but then he recreates the earth and does all this
right.
recreation that we read about here. I don't think that view is the best view either, but at least that view is consistent with taking the 6 days of creation. But having said all that,
yeah.
I realize that for a lot of Christians, they've been influenced by Darwinian thought, and they've been influenced by evolutionary thought, and they think science has proved that the earth is billions of years old, and
right.
they've proved that man is hundreds of thousands of years old.
Right.
And they've proved the fossil record shows some sort of evolutionary approach. They buy all that. Now, I was a biology major in college. I was trained in all that. I have a Bachelor of Science in biology.
Right.
I was influenced by the evolutionary approach. I can't remember exactly what I believed then because I know I believed in creation.
Yeah.
But I think I believed in some sort of theistic evolutionary approach when okay. I was, but I didn't come to faith until my senior year in college.
Right.
And I do remember we brought in some people from Talbot Seminary and Biola University, and they talked about the creationist position, the young earth creation, and they defended it. And I came to believe it as a new believer.
Okay.
And I actually spoke on college campuses defending it. I remember speaking at Arkansas State University. I talked about the fact, for example, that at the top of Mount Everest, they find seashells.
Right.
Well, how could there be seashells at the top of Mount Everest unless there was a universal flood? You would have had tremendous pressure on the plates of the Earth with a universal flood and all the weight of the water.
Right.
But the view of young Earth creationism is that the highest mountains at the time of the flood were no more than, say, 6,000 or 7,000 feet high.
Right.
There were no 29th, there was no K2, there was no Mount Everest, or if they were 5,000 or 6,000 feet.
Right.
With the current makeup of the Earth, I don't believe you could have had water covering the Earth. Well, other than, obviously, a supernatural miracle of God, where he's got water that's, let's say, 5 miles, 6 miles deep.
Right.
It seems that would be unlikely. But in any case, Paul Tanner wrote an article in BibSac in 2015, in the January 2015 issue. And Dr. J. Paul Tanner has a Master of Theology from Dallas Seminary, as I do. But his doctorate is not from Dallas Seminary, but instead he has a doctorate in Old Testament from the University of Texas.
Right.
And when he graduated from Dallas and when he got his doctorate from UT, he believed in an old earth creationism. Hmm. And he believed in some form of, I believe, theistic evolution.
Mm-hmm.
It was only, I think, when I heard him speak on this, I think it was around the year 2010 or so, when he came to the young earth creationist position. And he did so by studying Genesis 1 and 2 in the Hebrew, and also Genesis chapter 5, which gives the list of all the way from Adam to Noah and the ages of people. And he came to the conclusion the only position that's biblical is a young earth creationist position. He wrote this article, and he says the date of creation is 4199 BC, plus or minus 25 years.
Okay.
And he said the reason why we've got this 25 years we're unsure of is because of the dating of whether it's Abraham or Terah, his father. There's some lack of clarity in the Hebrew text.
Okay.
Basically, what he shows is that Noah was 600 years at the time of the flood. If the flood was 2543 BC, which Paul Tanner shows it was, then you would have had Noah's birth at approximately 3143 BC and the creation 4199 BC. And all of that means the earth is about 6,200 years old, which, by the way, fits with the Hebrew chronology, with the way that the Jewish people date the earth. And I would answer it with a few things. First of all, there's something called apparent age. In other words, if you looked at Adam and Eve on the first day of creation, they wouldn't look like day-old babies.
Right.
They would look like adults. We don't know what age they were. Were they 16? Were they 20? But they would have looked like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I assume they would have been able to procreate on day one. They wouldn't have to wait, 15 years or 20 years to be able to have offspring. Also, the trees in the Garden of Eden, if you would have cut the trees and looked, they would have had, I assume, rings.
Right.
And also, I assume that the light from the stars would have been evident on Earth on day one.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have taken 14 billion years for the light to come from the most distant stars. Now, I remember I had an email dialogue with Hugh Ross in which he said that's impossible. And he said the speed of light is such that it takes 14 billion light years for the light to get from the furthest stars to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And God can't superintend that. Well, I believe God can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that God has to speed up the speed of light. He can just create a stream of light from the furthest planet to Earth, and then the light just keeps on coming. In any case, I think there was apparent age, and that would have been true with everything on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the worldwide flood would have changed the fossil record. It would have changed the layers of rock, etc. And also, our dating methods are extremely flawed. We really have no way scientifically of dating the Earth. We use all kinds of clever ideas, but the truth is we're basically just imposing guesses. In order to prove the models of evolution as the origin of our Earth and the origin...
Well, it's not the origin of the Earth. Evolution is just biological life, right? It doesn't have to do with the age of the Earth.
It does in the sense that...
It's kind of like a correlating argument.
Yeah, the evolutionary approach is tied in with however you believe the universe came about, the Big Bang or something along those lines. I guess my point would be science, in order to tell us how creation took place, would have to be able to reproduce it.
Right. So
They'd have to be able to do that in the lab.
I hear sometimes. So, yeah, I hear, like, I think Ken Ham say there's a difference between historical science, I think he calls it, and maybe laboratory science. I forget the distinction. But I think he says, you know, real science is repeatable and it's done in the lab, and these historical guesses, another type of science, and it's a lot less reliable and it's... Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and Ken Ham is with Answers in Genesis.
Yeah.
And although I don't agree with him on his understanding of how a person is born again, he holds to Lordship salvation. Mm. I am very strongly with him on the age of the earth, creation, and six literal days of creation.
Well, we just have a few seconds left. If someone has a question about what book should I read more to find out more about this, what would you recommend?
I think there are several good ones. One of them is Philip Johnson, who was a law professor at Berkeley, I believe, and he's got a great book on it that he can look up. Secondly, look up the article by J. Paul Tanner in BibSec from January of 2015. I think that's an excellent one. Answers in Genesis does have a lot to say on this question, as well as also the Creation Research Institute does as well.
Institute for Creation Research.
Yeah,
and
ICR.
That's here in Dallas, I think.
I think it is.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm sure that's going to raise a lot of questions for you, and feel free to ask them. At radio@faithalone.org, and feel free to look at the resources that Bob just mentioned. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, it's Friday, but on Monday, we are going to discuss the new heavens and the new earth, so you want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.